Well, I thank you so much for that song. How many are happy and glad that he did come to us? Amen. We couldn't come to him, but he came to us. You can turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40 and Luke chapter 6 and Exodus chapter 20 and... No, I'm joking. My watch is 10:30. And pastor said... 10 to noon, or noon rather, so we got about an hour and a half. Luke chapter 6 and Psalm chapter 40. It is certainly my honor to be here. I grew up here and graduated from Heritage Christian School in 1992 as a 10-year-old boy. And but I tell you, I, of course, all glory goes to the Lord. For accomplishments, God does everything and we do nothing. But also you have people along the way that help you out. And I so appreciate and give credit to so many good folks that are in this church. And the teaching and preaching and the steadiness, yes, there was great sermons. Yes, there was pivotal points in my life where decisions were made. And I look back on those as high water marks, as mountaintop experiences. But the truth is that it's the steady eddy, the day-to-day, the constant preaching in chapel and the faithfulness of our Sunday school teachers, and so I just give you a lot of credit. I also give you credit for all the mistakes I make, so I say it's your fault that I do those. No, I don't. But Psalm chapter 40, if you would stand, please, and we'll read. I'll read verse 1, if you would read verse 2 with me, and then I'll read verse number 3 to myself. So verse 1, I'll read. Verse 2, you read. Together with me, and then I'll finish with verse number 3. Psalm chapter 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Verse number 2, together, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. If you mark in your Bible, mark that, set my feet upon a rock. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. What a great song to start this sermon out about. He came to me. It's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about that rock that we can have in this troublesome times. Boy, we need stability today, don't we? We need that foundation. We need some faithfulness. We need that rock. We need a rock in our marriages. We need a rock in politics. We need it in the job, in the workforce. We need it on the mission field. But most importantly, we need the rock as our God in salvation and in service. Let's pray as we begin the sermon. Lord Jesus, please, we need you today. We need your power. We need your spirit to speak through me. There's great folks here today, great church, great heritage, great Bible that we have before us. Great opportunity to pray. But Lord, without your blessing, without your moving, it's just activity. And so we ask you to bless, to work, to lead, to guide. And that, Father, we would be able to have open hearts so that you'd speak to us. There's absolutely no way I could possibly know all the heartaches and burdens and needs that walk through that door today. But the great thing about the Holy Spirit is he knows. And he directs, and he leads, and he guides. And I pray that, Lord, we'd all take a step closer to you today, that you'd find us faithful simply because you are faithful. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We need a rock. We need something to hold on to. There was a coal mining disaster on July 24th, 2002, down in Pennsylvania. They were digging in that mine, and they came across an abandoned mine that they didn't know of, they didn't mark on the map, and broke into it. Well, that mine had been flooded, and so millions of gallons of water, 50 million was the estimate, flowed into the chamber that they were at, and of course, they went away from that area and tried to find an escape, couldn't find an escape, and so they had to get back to the high water mark or the high area where that rock was originally, and they fought their way against the current, and they got on top of that rock, And they stayed on that rock as the water rose around them for 72 hours. After a while, one of them said, imagine the overtime we're going to get for this. But they stayed on that rock, and eventually they were able to put a shaft down there for the air, and they were able to rescue those miners, and so it's commemorated in a monument there. But it was the rock. It was the high place. It was the place that they had to go back to. Even though it fought to get there, they had to get back to that rock. And we need a rock today. Amen. We need to hold on to God. There's a lot of things that are happening in our country that are good in the sense of a conservative-leaning government. But boy, if you're waiting for the government to save America, you're going to wait a long time. What we need is a turn to Jesus Christ, a turn back to the rock. And that is the theme of our text in Luke chapter 6. You can leave your place in Psalm chapter 40 and go to Luke chapter 6. Now, if you're a young person today, as I grew up in this church, you sang the song, "The Wise Man Built His House Upon a Rock." So I'm going to have all the men stand up and we're going to sing that song. I'm joking. We won't. When I preached this message in our church back in Wisconsin, I did that. And they said, don't ever sing that again, please, Pastor. No, they didn't. But the wise man built his house upon a rock. And the what? Rains came tumbling down. Rains came down, then the floods came up. But the house on the rock stood firm. But the foolish man, he built his house upon the sand. And the rains came just like with the wise man, and the floods came just like with the wise man, but the house on the sand went splat. Good poetry there. And so what's the answer? What's the answer? You build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessings will come down. So build your life on the Lord. We're going to read Luke 6, 45. Down to verse 49. Luke 6, 45 to 49. I jumped into 45, so I want you to see that it is connected. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep. That's a very important phrase right there. And laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently. That's another important word. Upon that house. And could not shake it. For it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth. Against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Very simple outline this morning. We're just going to go piece by piece with the different subjects or the different characters that are in our story. First of all, the men in our story. The men in our story. Very simply, both men walk down to a stream. Both men see a beautiful place to put their house. And one of them, and I imagine maybe they're neighbors and they're waving to each other and they're saying howdy to each other. And they both bring equipment and they both start digging. One of them, and I'll put the wise man over here. Now, if the wise man moves over there, please don't judge me because sometimes I get mixed up. But I'll put the wise man here and the foolish man over there. And the wise man's digging and digging, and he continues to dig and continues to dig and continues to dig and continues to dig until he finds solid rock where he can put the foundation. Those who are in architecture or building or in construction in any way, you know that no matter what you put on top, what's on the bottom is important. So he digs deep until he gets to a foundation. Now, I can imagine the foolish man, he's watching this guy over there, and he's saying, what in the world are you doing? Buddy, I mean, hey, I want to get to sleeping in my hammock. I want to be sleeping in my house. I want to be enjoying the house. I don't want to spend so much time looking for a foundation. And so he digs just a little bit, and he figures this is good enough, and he puts his house there on the sand. Now, from the surface, they both look the same, and a lot of us look the same here. unfortunately. No, a lot of us look the same. We come in dressed up or coming to church, and we maybe have our Bible, but listen, it matters about the heart. That's what matters. That's the foundation, and that's the second thing I want to look at is the rock. The rock. We're moving along pretty quickly. This is point two of a 17-point sermon. Turn over, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. The rock. Who is the rock? What is this talking about? Deuteronomy is in the Old Testament. I don't want to assume that you know. It's Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32. Isn't it wonderful that you can read the same thing I'm reading and you know exactly what I'm reading? So Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 3. Who is this rock? What is this rock? What does that represent? Jesus talked in parables. He talked in metaphors. He talked in similes, and he was trying to give a picture. And that picture of the rock is God. Is God. Deuteronomy 32, verse number 3, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. Read with me the next four words. He is the rock. He's the rock. God is the rock. Look over to, if you would, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 2:2, neither is there any rock like our God. 2 Samuel 22:2, the Lord is my rock. 2 Samuel 22:32, for who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? Psalm 31:3, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Listen to me, if you walked in here today and it's your first time ever to be in church, listen to me, it is not the church that you need. It is not cleaning up that you need. You need God. You need God. You need God as your salvation. That's what you need. And God is that rock that we need. Also, Jesus Christ is talked about as the rock. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And let read the next four words. That rock was Christ. Jesus Christ. In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. That's Jesus Christ. This rock is Jesus. Children sing the song, Jesus is the rock of my salvation. His banner over me is love. So you've got Jesus is the rock. Now, Jesus is also the foundation. Jesus is also the foundation. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So we talked about the men. We talked about the rock. Now we have the foundation. The foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. My focus is not salvation necessarily this morning, but I want to pause and say, it is not about our work. It is not about how good we become. It is not about some ladder that we get. It's not about steps that we make. We can never get ourselves to heaven. It is only through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. So how does that work out in my life? It means that I have to trust Him completely and wholly. I trust this chair to hold me up. If I leaned forward and had both feet on the floor like this and I kept checking back on the chair, Pastor Folger would be like, what is wrong with you? These are okay, really, trust me. Yeah, okay, well, I'll sit down kind of, but I'll always have a backup plan. He'd say, well, you don't trust the chair. Baptism isn't a backup plan. Going to church is not a backup plan. Just in case, no. It's Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. That is salvation. And I know there's a number of people who would be happy to take a Bible and show you more about that salvation. So Jesus Christ is our foundation. Jesus Christ is our foundation. Now, what about building on that foundation? What about building on that foundation? We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, verse number 12 now. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest. Look back at Luke chapter 6. Look at Luke chapter 6. We build on this foundation. You notice how we've kind of left this guy alone over here. We're just talking about this wise man. He has dug deep. He has found some solid rock. He has built now his foundation. That's Jesus Christ. And he's building now on top of that foundation. He's putting he's putting the trusses and the walls and the windows, and he's decorating the house. He's making it on the outside. He's building on that foundation. Now, there's some important things to see in our text of Luke chapter 6. That sometimes people think that after I have believed in Jesus Christ, my life is going to be perfect. Everything's going to go away. I always wondered why a healing evangelist wore glasses. Why are you wearing glasses? It doesn't make any sense. If all your problems go away, then why are you doing that? But we somehow fall into that. I mean, we know that people shouldn't be, you know, healing evangelists and just walk around and there's no problem. But somehow we kind of think that. But the truth is, at the end of the day, if he only said, I have the foundation, then you are saved, but you've got to build on that. That's not to increase your salvation in any way. That is to get to know your Father. Be a pitiful existence if somebody gave birth to a child and then let it go and never had any relationship with it again. Would there be a constant tie? Would there be a permanent tie with the relationship? Absolutely, but the fellowship wouldn't be there. And just as I have a relationship with my parents as I grew up and my dad now, I have that fellowship with him. I continue that. That is what God wants us to do. He wants us to build on that foundation, get closer to God. You say, wow, if salvation is only in Jesus Christ, why should I go to church? Well, it's true that salvation is only in Jesus Christ, but I go to church to get to know him better. So many of us live outside, and we wonder why we get wet when it rains. Come in the house. You won't get wet. And that's the whole idea with this foundation. And this is what it's actually talking about here in our text. It's not only talking about salvation, but it's also talking about doing the works, doing what God wants us to do, following through with those things, being faithful to God. And that is why I read verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth with that which is good. Look at verse number 43, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit, for every tree is known by his own fruit, for the thorns do not gather figs, for of a bramble bush gather they grapes. You say, what is he talking about? He's basically saying, you can see what's on the inside based on what's the outside. And you can see how this man has built his house, and that reflects on what his foundation is. And this chapter is absolutely filled with references and highlights and things that we are supposed to do. Look at verse 46 again. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? This is about following God. Now, verse 38 is a great verse. I love this verse. It's used in missions. It's used in giving. It's used in all kinds of different verses. It's a great verse. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And all God's people said, amen. That's an awesome verse. It's a great verse. That means when I give to God, he abundantly gives back to me. It's an awesome verse, and that is a good context to use it. But the truth is, this doesn't say much about money, this whole chapter. You know what this chapter is about? Let's go back to verse number 31. And as ye would that men should do it to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, which what thank have ye? For sinners also do even to the same. What's the context of verse 38? And if ye lend to them of whom ye have to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But what's the context of given it shall be given unto you? Love your enemies. Whoa. Wait a minute. I mean, I thought this was about missions giving, which is good. You can use it for that. I thought it was about doing good works, and then good works would come back. Well, you can use it for that, but this is in the context of being kind to your enemy. Well, I don't want to do that. Yikes. I mean, that's hard. I mean, you realize he cut me off 3 times on the way here? You realize they didn't tell me about the construction that I was getting to? Those guys always pick we have two seasons in Wisconsin, winter and construction. It's terrible. They had construction where they were working on the bridge that is right by my house. And unfortunately, the way the road is, that bridge is the only way I can get to church. I live about 10 minutes away from church. They closed that bridge and I was 45 minutes away from church. Love your enemies. They closed it on a Tuesday and Sunday came along. I'd forgot about it. So I pull along the bridge. Oh, you can't come here. Oh, 45 minutes around. So I go 45 minutes around. There's another bridge. There's only two bridges. I mean, this is rural. I get it. There's only two bridges, and they were working on that one too. This is a Sunday morning. I get up there, and I'm already late for church. Now, late is I try to get there about an hour early, but now I'm running late, and I'm kind of upset and all that. And they say they're getting ready to go across the thing, and there's no light or anything. And why is there a big line of traffic? And so I'm sitting there waiting for my turn. And the Chamber of Commerce has picked this particular day to stand at that entrance of the bridge and collect a toll, a voluntary toll. So they're like, hey, how you doing, sir? How's it going? We're just here collecting a dollar to improve our parks. Here's your dollar. If I don't give that dollar, I know that the next week I'll be knocking on a door and it'll be them, you know? Oh, you're the jerk pastor from the Baptist church that wouldn't give a buck. You know, we can talk about reading your Bible and praying, and that's absolutely essential. We can talk about coming to church, and that's absolutely essential too. And we can talk about soul winning, and that's great too. But listen, where the rubber meets the road is how we treat people we don't like. Amen. And that's the context of this chapter. Well, I tried to witness to my neighbor, and he said he wasn't coming to church. Heathen. Jerk. I tell you what, this chapter needs to be preached at Capitol Hill because, boy, we have got a bunch of vitriol and anger and sarcasm in the public realm. I appreciate conservative principles. I really do. But there's no reason to be rude. It's crazy how we've warped our thinking. And that's really what the building is about. That is what his main thing is. Now, the storm. That's another piece of our puzzle. We talked about the wise and the foolish man. We talked about the rock and then the foundation and then the building. Now we have the storm. Now we have the storm. If you would turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. The storms of life. Obviously, there was a storm. The rain came down and the flood came up. And the Bible says the stream rose. So obviously, there was a storm. It's obvious that the stream rose because of a rainstorm. And listen to me, you don't have Christianity for the good times. You don't have Christianity just because you want to have a good feeling for the mountaintop. You have Christianity for the failures, not the successes necessarily. You have Christianity because it's a struggle to raise kids. You have Christianity because it's a struggle to have a good marriage. Well, I don't want to go to that church. That church has a group of people where they all have perfect marriages. No. It was actually surprising to me. I mean, I grew up that way where I thought, well, the people on the platform, but they never have struggles. And then when I got to be a pastor and people told me, Pastor, we know you never struggle with your kids. You never struggle in your marriage. You know, you guys never fight. Like, who are you talking about? Are you serious? We all struggle. The storm is going to come. Maybe you came in here and you say, boy, I'm in a storm. Maybe you received some bad news lately. Breaks my heart to hear about those three children who have cancer. Maybe you've gone through a traumatic situation. Maybe you're just struggling to understand life. We're going to start a club. It's the club of trying to understand life. Salvation is for the darkest times. Oh, that church is just for the weak. Yes! That church is just a bunch of sinners. Yes! Yes, we are. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is thy sting? Verse 55, O grave, where is thy victory? We need help for the storm. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. You don't have to raise your hand, but how many have felt the sting of sin? Something that's from the past, something you'd be ashamed of everybody knowing. You know, maybe you're right now dealing with something, a wayward child or something, and you say, boy, I hope my Christian brethren never find out about this. And there's a certain element of that because we don't want to ridicule people. We don't want to. If it's a bad situation, the fewer people should know. But when you walk around and you talk to some of the seasoned Christians, you know what you're going to find out? You're going to find out, I went through that storm too. And God was faithful. And God was gracious. And God taught me these lessons. Don't run away from the church, run to the church. Don't run away from God, run to God. The storms of life. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We can have victory. We can have victory. Now, I want you to see something, though, about this storm. The storm was unseen. It's implied in the passage that the Bible says the stream rose. The stream rose. The stream rises when it rains upstream, out of your eye, out of your vision. You're 4, 5, 6, 10 miles downstream, and that storm has caused a deluge in the mountains. That storm is in another county. That storm is another town. That storm is somewhere else, and it gets to flowing down the river, and it rises where you are. So sometimes the storms are unseen, and you don't even know why the stream is rising. It seems nice where you're at, but you've got this problem right in front of you. Boy, you're going along with life, and everything seems fine, and everything seems good, and then just out of the blue, something happens. My son called me Monday night. He said, Dad, I didn't want to scare you, but I had some seizures the last couple days. They actually videoed him. He had 3 seizures in 36 hours, just this Sunday. He had another one Tuesday and another one last night. Never happened before. No history of it in our family. So I went down there, spent the week with him at Bible college and talked to the folks and tried to help him out and get a plan together and see the doctors. Why? That's the question that comes into our minds. I didn't see the storm. I just saw the stream rising. So why did this happen? The storm causes the stream to rise. And sometimes we don't know why. We don't know why the storm came, but let's think about this, though. Let's think about this. The stream was the reason they put their house there. The stream was the reason they put their house there. They came down out of the mountain. They came out of the woods. They came out of the plains. They saw this stream, and they said, wow, this water is pretty good for life. We can come and get our own water for drinking. We can get our water for bathing. We can fish from this stream. We can get water for the irrigation of our crops. We put the house here so we could benefit from the stream. And the stream was what caused the biggest problem. I entitled this message, The House with a View. The House with a View. And imagine 20 years later, after that's all said and done, and they tried to sell their houses, and they come up to the good man, the good wise man, and they said, well, how is this house? Oh, it's a beautiful house. It's wonderful. Oh, this is a great stream right here. Ever had any problems? Well, that was one time. You know, he picked that place. He picked that very place so he'd have that view of the stream. And the stream was what caused him the biggest headache. Have you ever felt like your commitment, your decision, your purpose in life, in the sense of, I'm going to start tithing, and then your finances take a turn for the worse? Young person, maybe you're in a public school or even in a Christian school, and you say, you know, There's some other people who are listening to wrong music, and I feel convicted about that. I don't think I should do that. And you start making steps in the right direction, and you plant your house near a nice, good stream with good, godly music, and that's the very thing they make fun of you about. Maybe you're a dad or a mom, and you say, boy, God has really convicted me about being a godly mom, a godly dad, and I really want to try to do what's right with my children. And you say, okay, we're going to have some consequences here, and we're gonna have some punishments here. And you start implementing those punishments, and you say, no, Pastor, I've been doing this for a couple weeks or a couple months, and listen, that's the source of the biggest contention in my house is this discipline. The very thing I tried to do, the very decision I tried to make is my very source of grief. You ever feel that way? You ever feel that way? Maybe you're tempted to, this is a great church, a wonderful church, but boy, are they hard. Boy, they take some strong stands. My life would be a lot easier if I just kind of backed off a little bit, found a church that didn't have these strong stands. Really, the problem is my decisions to take these strong stands. That's where my problem comes. Listen, let me encourage you. A lot of times that happens. And he talks about it beating vehemently on his house. There's only a couple times that word is used in scriptures. The meaning is with great force, with great violence. I tell you what, when a young person says, I'm going to keep myself clean until I get married, that is the time the devil sends the hordes of hell to try to get them tempted away from that decision. Amen. Vehemently on them to try to give up that decision. The scribes and Pharisees argued vehemently with Jesus. Peter vehemently denied Jesus, the Bible says. And the east wind beat vehemently on the head of Jonah. Tremendous, tremendous pressure, tremendous trials. So, what do we need to do? What do we need to do? We need to go back to the result, which is the end of the message, is the result is... Back in our text, it says, could not shake it, verse number 48. Could not shake it. And then verse 49, the ruin of that house was great. At the end of the day, these two men both had the storm come. And listen, don't think that if you just didn't tithe and didn't pray and didn't read your Bible, everything would be great. No, it doesn't work that way. Doesn't work that way. But the devil certainly does attack when we try to do what's right. I don't want to scare you, but every time you make a decision, there's a big target on your back from the devil. Listen, the hunter doesn't shoot the deer that's sitting still. He shoots the deer that moves. We need to move for God, even though we're going to be shot at by the devil. But at the end of the day, the storm came, and the ruin of this house was great. Oh, been around long enough to see people who just absolute ruined lives. Terrible lives. People who are in jail today, people who are addicted to drugs today, people who are nothing today, or people who are dead. The ruin of that house was great. But here his foundation was strong. The rock was there. The house stood. The storm didn't make the foundation. It revealed the foundation. And it might be just simply that, what is success? Is success having a huge church, huge ministry? Is success having a beautiful, wonderful family where everybody says yes, sir, and no, sir? Is that our goal? Absolutely. I want that to happen for everybody. But truthfully, what is success? Surviving the storm with your testimony intact. Because at the end of the day, the storm went down and he has a house, and somebody comes back the next day and says, I don't see any difference. I can't even tell the storm came. What a great testimony. What a great testimony. It doesn't take place during the storm. It takes place before the storm. Hold on to God. Hold on to Jesus Christ. Hold on to that rock. And you will survive the storm.